Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend.
Of the goodness of God with every breath I take. As we start our worship today with from words from the Word, with that song of worship, and we are listening to the artist share her heart regarding some names of God, some character traits of God, some personalities of God, that has blessed her life. It has blessed our life. And when she sings, she says, you've been so, so good. Not just good, but so, so good. It is an emphasis on that attribute that it is so amazing. There's no one word to truly describe it. And so you have to kind of accentuate it with that word so. And then to accentuate it twice, not just so good, but so, so good. God is such a wonderful, marvelous Father. He says that she shares that he's been her Father. He's been her friend. He is our Father. He is our friend. And he is eternal. And because he is, that which describes him, defines him, is also eternal. And because we belong to him, it should give us a different perspective of just who we are and why we are. And the author shares, and the artist shares that as they lay their life down to God, that goodness runs after them. In the 23rd Psalm, David even said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me, running after me. God has this wonderful, awesome handful of all we need, and he's running behind us, giving it to us. As we go, he goes, making sure we have everything we need, and we're confident in the race. Not that we get weary, but he said, don't, let me encourage you. I got some goodness right behind. It's right here with you. It's right here for you. Be encouraged by it. David said, so why are you downhearted? Okay, he encouraged himself. Don't you know the living God is our God and that we are his? And so that brought new life into his spirit, that then spent his soul, and it settled his emotions. And that's how we rest in him. And that's how we rest in him, by trusting him. And one of the ways we can rest in him, or not even raise, but those things that should motivate us every day, the closer and the further we travel with him, is his attributes, his personality, those things that are true about him, some things that we know but we don't know. We have not embraced them in the fullness of their power, in the fullness of their revelation. And that's one of the things that Jeremiah focused on when he wrote this book, The God You May Not Know, that there's some things about him that we may have known, but we didn't know. And so he brings him back to the forefront of our mind and our thinking and our life, and he places him there, and then he shows us how he is enthroned on his throne. He, our God, reigns. Our God reigns. He reigns, and he reigns forever because he's an eternal God. He reigns, and he doesn't change. He is the same. He reigns, and he is holy. He reigns, and he is powerful. He reigns, and as the song said, he is faithful. God is faithful. You can trust what he says and what he tells you to do. He is faithful. Our God, as we go through, and we know he's ever present, he's always there. He knows all things. He's all powerful. He has all power. And we're looking today at his sovereignty. At his sovereignty. Because we aren't a nation that has a dictator or a king or a structure like some countries do, in Europe and other countries. We don't have a chief, even though we may have a chief executive office. It's a democracy. But in countries where there's a sovereign king, there is a there is an atmosphere and an understanding that whoever's in charge, whatever regime is in charge, whatever man is in charge, they can do whatever they want. They can do anytime they want, and they can do it to anybody they want to do it to or not. And so that sovereignty gives them the all-power authority over the region that they're in. Sovereignty also is divided, not divided up, but the author shares with us its origin, and that it is a word that is made up of two words. And one of the words is ruler and super or above. So it's about the ruler that is a super. He is above all other rulers in that region, in the, what do they call it, in the territory that he reigns over. And so we're looking now at our God who reigns over all things everywhere because he created them and he's still in rule of them. And we go through a list of just some of the scriptures. You have your book, turn to 180 and read. Somebody read out loud these scriptures that give us an understanding of the scope of who God is, of what he says about his sovereignty. I love it because he testifies to of himself, because there's no one else that's there other than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he gives us a word that gives us an assurance of the fact that our God rules and reigns as the sovereign God, the sovereign God of the universe, the galaxy, the cosmos, and everything else. Our God reigns. Someone read the first one? Yes.
Yeah.
This one is on 179.
On page 179.
It says at the bottom, for the king is,
yes, ma'am,
is the Lord.
Yes.
And he rules over the nation. That's Psalms 22:28. And then the next page, 180. And then someone's going to read that one at the top.
You can continue.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. That's Psalms 33:11.
Let's just look at that. When you just look at these, I don't know, 10, 12 words, they are so powerful. And we need to get the revelation from the Holy Spirit. But when we look at this, what is it saying to us? What kind of assurance are we being given in Psalms 33:11?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can talk to me.
Oh.
He's sovereign and he's in all things. He's in everything. He is in control of everything. He is sovereign. He, there is no limit to his, what's the word I'm looking for? To his concern and love for us. Because of his sovereignty, if we would just grasp hold to it, we need not fear because he is in control of everything. He knows all things. And we just need to trust him and rely on him because he is God. He is who he is, and there's no other before him.
Amen. 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 Anybody else?
Also, yes. The counsel of the Lord stands.
Yes.
His rule over all of us, all mankind, all humans, will stand forever. He will not be voted out. He can't be pulled down. Or what do they do with those presidents?
Right.
When they go wrong, they just, whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm
overthrow,
trying to say?
Whatever.
Yes, he rules over everybody, everything, every unit, establishment, everything, forever. And his plans, his heart for all generations, for all. I mean, all the those that are.
Oh, you breaking up?
All.
Eight?
All generations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so not just us, but those that came before us and those that come after
us.
Every generation.
Right.
So there is a confidence in what he says is going to be true. It is going to stand. And so as we look for answers, as we look for solutions, then we should look at the counsel of the one who is unchanging, all-powerful, all-knowing. His counsel is going to be the counsel that is needed for us to successfully go through this life and the next. His counsel, what has he counseled us to do? What has he told us to do? What has he shared with us that we should do? What has he told us is available to us? He's giving us counsel, instructions, advice, and we most times choose not to take it. But he's assuring us, and as this author presents his personality, God's personality to us, and it's one thing to be sovereign. There's a lot of people on earth that are sovereign over their region and their territory, but their personality and their essence is not pure. It is not holy. It is not unchangeable. It is not all-powerful. You know, they have a limit, and it's a certain, they can only go so far, and then they can't go any further. But he shares in these scriptures, he reigns, and he says, you know, even the mountains and the birds, I mean, there is no limit. There's nowhere where his authority or his reign ends and someone else's began. And the most comforting part for me is the fact that the one who reigns is love, not has a love, but is love. It is perfect love. So the person in charge is in charge with a pure, perfect, holy heart and a love for everybody, because he said God so loved the world. Everything he created, he loved. He loves. He hates the sin that is there, but he loves what he has created, and he reigns and rules. He reigns and rules. Rules because he has the power. He has all the power. He has all the knowledge, so he knows where to go, when to go, what to do, what's going to happen, you know, before it even happens. He already knows it, and he has a counsel for it. Let's read some of the other scriptures.
I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. And I was going to say, you know, he's so sovereign, even the animals obey him, you know. So much so, he's saying, I believe, so much so that the animals even obey me and my command. So you know, man has to come to that place as well to know he is who he is. And it says that for the world is mine and all its fullness. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him, and he is ruler over it. I was thinking that, you know, even when we make plans for our life, if it's not falling in line with his plan, you know, we may think, you know, our plan is going to go as we want it. But if it's not falling in line with his plan, he can overturn it at any time because he is who he is.
Yes, yes.
And I was
yes.
thinking as I was reading, you know, and I was praying, it, tears just began to come in my eyes as I was reading this. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was praying for the Ukrainians, and I was, you know, just telling the Lord, conversing with him about the evilness of, Putin and what was going on. And then in reading this, you know, it just came to my mind, you know, he already knows this
mm-hmm.
and he knew it was going to be even though we don't like it. And I said, Lord, I don't understand it. And your word tells me that, you know, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But it just brought tears to my eyes because the reality of,
yes.
you know, the words on the page just came, you know, I can't find
yes.
where it is. But he, you know, he knows this. He knew it was going to be. And there's a reason that it is and that it's happening. And something is going to come forth out of it all. We don't see it, but he already knows it. And no matter how bad it is or how devastating it is, you know, he's already in it. So it's just, you know, really,
it's
really
Amen. Amen. And I think it's supposed
to cry many times.
Yes.
You know, it just pierces you. You know, it just does something.
Yes, it does.
I don't know. You know, when you think about our misunderstanding, if I can use that word, of him and not really understanding
yes.
him. But
mm-hmm.
we have to repent. You know, to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because of our frailty and thoughts of him and the things that are going on. And yet hold on to him and, you know, just tell him, not my will, Lord, but your will, and just hold on, even though we can't see it and we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But just tell him that he's sovereign and he knows all things, and we surrender our thoughts unto him and our will unto him. This, I can't even find the words to express what this chapter has or is,
mm-hmm.
because the more I read it, I just become cheerful, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, as you say, it reaches the core of our spirit because it connects to our Creator. And it gives us
yeah.
that awe worship, understanding his sovereignty. And even more than that, understanding that with his sovereignty, you can trust whatever he does. Even when you don't understand
yeah.
it, as you were saying. And as we look around, but then just like we've learned that he's all-knowing. He knows what was, what is, and what is to come. And his counsel will stand. So it's like however he's going to handle this is going to be the best, because only that which is good comes from him. And it's, you know, it says to say God is sovereign is simply to declare he is God. He's elevated above the highest authority in all the universe and possesses not only infinite power, but infinite right, rule, and reign. There's nothing that's not in the palm of his hand, in the place of his authority, of his control. And when we see this, we're learning, and we're going to understand that understanding this, God attribute that we haven't fully embraced. It was too vast to really see it with our two little eyes. You know, you could take a picture and you could try to line the camera up to include everything in the picture, but you may end up, the people on the end, they don't get it, you don't get their feet, or you cut their head off, because the view isn't broad enough. And that's why our view and our understanding isn't broad enough to encompass everything there is about God. And so he shows us, he says, as you seek me, I will declare and I will share my mysteries with you, and you'll understand more and more of who I am and who has chosen to love you. And when we see that, when we experience that, just like when we read this and we see, as you say, these words coming off the page, because we know they live in us. We see it, we know it, we believe it. We base our breathing on it, on the all-reigning power of the God of glory. And it causes us to reverence him. And there's just not enough reverencing of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that's why the world is not wise. That's why the world is doing foolish things. You ever look at somebody and go, what is wrong with them? That don't even make sense. Because yeah, they have not come to the place where they see and understand the almighty sovereign God. Because if they did, they would cause them, just the mountains tremble. The seas have an effect. And as you say, the wild animals, the people, everything he creates responds to him, except often man, his prize, his possession. He possesses us because he gave us himself in his creation of us. And yet, we don't respect him. We're not at all at him. We're not in the book says that it used to be a time when, you know, people describe Christians as God-fearing people. Oh, that's a God-fearing woman. Or that's a God. My father was a God-fearing man. He truly was. But it's like, and he had that reverence for the Father. And I remember, and I know my sister will, is that when he would talk about him, just like you, Elder, he would cry. His tears would flow because he was connecting to the spirit that made him. And it's glorious. Our understanding of the God we may not know, just that one revelation, and one little additional revelation, there'll be many. There will be many. But each one brings us closer in intimacy to deeply understand who we are. And that's the thing. We have to understand who we are in order to do what we were created to do, which is why the world runs around crazy, because they don't know that they have a purpose. And the purpose they have, unfortunately, is to be like God, and they never will. So they don't want to submit to authority. And most people that are in this you know, this whole Ukrainian thing, they don't want to submit. Those that are in Russia, they don't want to submit. They want to be the ruler. They want to be the sovereign king of that area or whatever.
Yeah,
but
but
what we have to understand is God has declared, you know, that he is the Most High. He does what he will with the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, so that no one can stay his hand. Nobody can hold his hand back. Nobody can push him to do something he don't want to do. They can't hinder him. They can't compel him. They can't thwart what his plans are, nor can they stop it. Now, they may be doing things that they think are doing those things, but that's because they have that small insight and that small sight, and they don't realize the big picture and that what they're doing is only being deceived and digging a hole for themselves. And actually, it's not a hole.
Yeah.
It's a hole that they're going to earn because of this. But just because you can lord it over a person because your guns is bigger or your conversation is more cruel, that doesn't give you power nor authority. And what I think we have to come to as we see just not just the atrocities there, but just on our street, you know, in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the things that are being perpetrated because there's somebody that wants to be sovereign. This gang want to be sovereign over these two streets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this mayor want to be sovereign over this area. Everybody want to be in charge. And yet, in this country, the whole purpose of it was just like with the children of Israel when they were coming out, and Moses' father-in-law told them, break the people up and get, you know, 50 to rule over this and to do that so that they can all come together, give it to you, and then it's manageable. But the people forget it is not yours. This area is not yours. These people are not yours. This country is not yours. It belongs to the people. Actually, it belongs to God. And we are the God. We are God's representative on earth. And so those things that need, just things that just need to function on a regular basis, street lights, police, you know, utilities, whatever. That's what these people in authority are supposed to be managing, not managing us. But they want to manage us. That's exactly what the devil did in heaven. He was to manage the music. But he didn't want to just manage music. He wanted to manage the music makers, which were the other angels. He wanted to be in charge. But the book in the Bible clearly indicates that's not going to happen. The army of heaven is under the authority of the Most High God. You know, there's the high God and there are gods, but the Most High God, in other words, he is above all. He is the unlimited power and authority above all things. And so we may look around and say, well, if God's in charge, why does it look like this? Well, because God is in charge, and we are coming to understand he is sovereign. What I see is not the end. What I see is the way we get to an expected end. Because sometimes, just like even with the COVID, sometimes God's people have to be awakened. You weren't praying for Ukraine before. You weren't praying for that kind of cancerous evil that abuses the freedom of other people because they think they can. You know, we had to wake up. He says the earth is moaning for the children of God to step up and say something, to step up and do something, to step up and do those things that God has established in our hearts to do, and to do it knowing that we are part of the army of the sovereign God. He has all power. And so this not only causes us and motivates us and is a strength in us in reverencing, but also in responding to him obediently. Understand that he is sovereign, and in the end, he gonna win. So they need to get in line. We need to get in line with his word. He is the one that is the model, Jesus Christ. He sent his son as the model so that we could get in line with heaven's agenda, so that we can understand there's some things about God. See, that he gave you laws, but now Jesus came to give us the precepts, which is the meaning behind the law. It's what will motivate the law to automatically be fulfilled when you get the precept that will change your heart. When you get the truth that if they hit you, turn your cheek. When you get the truth that, you know, blessed is he that's mourned. So don't fight the mourning process. Don't seek those things that are definable by society, because they're subject to change. You can almost guarantee yourself they're going to change, because men do what their itchy ears would like to happen. The Most High, we learned that. So in the midst of COVID and those things of that nature, they were horrendous. They were horrendous. And yet, they brought about a good thing. They brought about a healing. They brought about an awakening. And we may say, well, how was there a healing with all the people that died? Okay. God has an agenda, and he is sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and to whomever he wants, because his goal is for us to prosper and be of good health. So how many people, you know, started to shift what they were starting to eat and starting to consume because they thought about some things, some issues and situations were brought up in their lives because of this COVID, and now they take better care of themselves. They take better care of each other. You know, how many go to the doctor now? They never went before, you know, because there were things that we could do and should do that we weren't doing, you know, but he woke up a world. We weren't spending time at home. You know, men were, you know, not a part of the family equation the way they should be. And, you know, to just stopping everything and like turning it back. We're talking about the gentleman, I forgot the name of the king, but anyway, as a sign from a lot Isaiah, he turned the time back because of what God shared with him and promised to do for him as a sign. And so he turned the time back. He stopped time. He stopped the world. Who can put brakes on the world? Everybody, stop. I don't care what country you're in, stop. Boats don't go. Planes don't fly. I mean, everything stopped. Buses don't work. Oh, okay, there everything stopped because he is sovereign. He is sovereign. And though he doesn't work like we think he should, you know, Lord, don't let them suffer. Lord, don't let that suffer. Don't let that happen. First of all, he will comfort a suffering heart. He promised that. He could bring a comfort. We have to look at Stephen even and even Moses. But when death was coming, they saw the joy of the Lord. And that was their release from what they had to do. So we don't always understand, and it is very painful on a physical level when we lose someone. However, God has a purpose. He is sovereign. He can do what he wants. And when he does, we need to trust his attributes to know it's in love. It's eternal. It's for my good. It is his delight for me to be perfected. And I pray for it. We pray. You know, God help me do the right thing, be the right way. those are our prayers that he's answering. They just don't look like we thought they would. But we have to remember that he is sovereign. And in knowing that and understanding that, even the more now, then obeying him should be even the more easy. Even the more, not easy, but natural. Even the more natural, because it's like, you know what? It's God. Praise be to God.
Yes, that was, you were talking about Hezekiah.
Yeah, Hezekiah, thank you, dear.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was Jeremiah and, yeah.
I knew it.
Hezekiah. Thank you.
Yes. You want to read the next verse?
Yes.
The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. Psalms 99:1.
Yes. Now we're going to, and I don't know, excuse me, if a lot of people know what the cherubims are and where they are. And this is one of the things that's really important about studying the word, because it will give you, like, that phrase, that statement, the Lord dwells between the cherubims. And that's what was on the mercy seat. That's what was in the Holy of Holies. That's where they put the blood of atonement.
Mm-hmm.
And so to understand he's there, it's like he is the prodigal father waiting on us to return back to him. He's waiting right there. That was something that they could picture and understand. Oh, wow. He's letting us come in the Holy of Holies because he's dwelling there. That's where he dwells. And so that verse has a very, very powerful meaning, because we come to understand he is there waiting on us. He is sovereign. And while we may be, you know, pondering why and why and why, he says, I'm waiting here. I'm not going anywhere. And what I'm doing is for the good of all my creation, of all my creation. All right, what's the next one?
I just wanted to say before you read that, when you were talking a little bit earlier, and good morning, before you were talking a little bit earlier, that it brought to mind to me was that we are stewards of everything, not only our time and our money, but our children. You know, that everything is kind of like on loan to us. Everything belongs to God and his sovereignty. You know, I think that we are cavalier with the way that we treat each other, sometimes even the way that we treat ourselves, you know, let alone our children or other people that are marginalized or that we feel are marginalized and less than maybe where we are, you know. But and I say that very guardedly, you know. But
yeah.
that he makes us stewards of everything, you know, and because I think we have lost that reverence in many cases for God, then people will do anything. You know, I mean, the violence has just been, is so random and just so unnecessary. So, I mean, where people rob you and then let me just shoot you in the head. You know, I got your $12 in your wallet, now let me just kill you. Or,
right.
You know, I mean, we see things that just seem like, what, like you said, what were they thinking? You know, somebody bumps your car the other night. Somebody, the guy got out and shot both of the people in the car behind him. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, like, what are you thinking that you could be on your way somewhere? I can't believe these people are thinking of this when they get in their car or wherever they are, that whatever's going on in your spirit man and in your soul man, what, you know, that we've gotten so far away from just the basic concept of good and respect, let alone God. And I know that he is in all those things, but to where we can just just mm-hmm. new idiot, just in, I mean, just ridiculous kind of thing. It is right. To me, it is amazing. Like, the, you know, they knocked the man over on the L track. He tried to get somebody's phone. Somebody just comes by and just
right.
pushes him over, like, just push. For evil, like, evil spite, you know. And I think that when we think about God's sovereignty, that there is going to be a time when God retaliates. But when God allows things to happen, and we're wondering, you know, like some of that stuff in the Old Testament, and you think, like, you know, God would never do any of those things now. And that was kind of what I thought about when COVID first came, that, like you said, he can shut mm-hmm. everything down. You know, I can shut
yeah.
the entire world down. If you can remember what downtown yeah. Chicago or Times Square
right.
or, you know,
right.
the streets of London in the height of the pandemic, and it was just nobody out there, even just going out. I don't know if you went out, but, like, I'd go out to the
yeah.
store or something. It's like there are no people outside. This is the weirdest, you know, the weirdest kind of thing, you know, that we have just, we definitely need to do whatever it is to come back, because it's only so far we can go. I mean, I think it's only so far we can go to the left, to the negative, without God having to intervene even the more so. You know, I think that because at some point he says he will stay the hand. You know, he's just not going to let us be totally consumed. And I think the people that are wreaking havoc on us and those of us that are wreaking havoc on ourselves and others, that we need to really be mindful that God is in, I think we feel that God is not in control because the systems and the powers and other
right.
things seem like they make so – like they are the controlling, they are the controlling forces. But when you see something like this, like, you know, I think you mentioned the Lord of Hosts or the Angel Armies, you know, and we see him, it is startling. I remember just even in the, just the reverence of God, just the plain old, I'm gonna say plain old, but you know what I mean. I can remember as a kid, even as an adult, if we were smoking, we didn't smoke in front of the church. When we would be at church and the guys would be out cussing the little gangbangers, church I go to is in the hood, they'd walk on the other side of the street. Now, they didn't care nothing really about God, but they knew enough. It had been deposited in them enough to know, man, that's the church. We're not sitting on the church steps getting high or whatever. You know, I mean, even the heathen knew, you know, or you see some women, older women, and folks are like, man, shut up, man. You see them women over there. You know, but, I mean, they go four steps more. They cuss them like sailors. But at least they gave temporary, you know, like it dawned on them, like, okay, let me chill right here. You know, we've even lost that. You know, little kids will cuss you out on the bus. You know, I mean, you know, I've had people just swear like, sailors when they say, like, hey, man, you got some change, y'all. You ain't getting no change, and then they go into a barrage of, you know, what they think of you because you're not giving them anything, you know, or whatever it is. And I know that that's because sin is in the world and people are struggling.
No.
But.
Okay. And I would say not that sin is in the world, but it's that Christians are not being Christ-like in the world. Because one of the things that when you were speaking, it became very crystal clear in the old days, as kids say today, our parents or our grandparents had to fear the Lord, and they put it in us. Now, we may not have wanted to go the way they were going, and they were holier than thou and yada, yada, yada. But it was, if you raise them up, they will not depart from the truth. We put it in there. These young people and these individuals that I say for the last two to maybe three generations, the parents and their grandparents don't want to be called grandma. They got some kind of cute name, and I'm not down to nobody on the line that got a cute name, okay, for your position or role as a grandparent. But what have we displayed before the generations that were watching us. Were we like the old folks? You know, my grandma used to, when she was washing dishes, she'd be singing a hymn. What are we singing? What are we doing? Because then we became liberated. We became our own person. You can't tell me what to do with my body. Okay? That became the mindset.
Our own God.
That just became, that took a cancerous turn in our understanding, and we passed that along. So, you know, you have a generation of individuals who, they were television babies, the television raised them, and we know the junk on the television. Even 30 years ago was junk because it wasn't God. And so now there was a time there were no TVs. So I know I'm going way back, but that generation is the one that raised the kids that crossed the street. Okay, now the kids that are crossing the street, the further you get away from the root of it, the generational sprouting of it, the further you get away, which is why the Jewish nation were admonished to celebrate this every year. So, I'm sorry? So that your children will know, so that the children will know. But how many live in homes and are affiliated in an environment where there's nothing to know about God in that? Nothing, not nothing to know. There's nothing displayed about God in it. And they may go to church. A lot of younger people in another generation back, their complaint was they go to church, but I see what they do every day. And so I can do the same thing. I just ain't going to church. You know, because that must be the way your God is, because that's the way he's being portrayed in their lives. And they're saying, you know, they're Christians. Somebody was giving me was sharing a story with me, and the person indicated that they were a person of God, a pastor, minister, or preacher or something. And they were horrible. They were cursing and doing things, but that's what the world sees coming from. So that generation, they really, what respect are they going to have? Timothy said something. He said, well, I don't understand why I get in trouble for being bad, but they stand up there and cuss all day long. Who knew? Well, you know, it's like, is that legal for a teacher to cuss? Now I'm asking, because I know when I was growing up, absolutely not. But this generation now, these teachers curse. One little boy said, this teacher called him a dumb and stupid idiot. Hello? Mm-hmm. I said, well, we need to take her to court. You know, and anyway. So, I mean, this is what they're getting. So why would they're not being valued. So why would they value anything else? They don't know that they have a value. And that's what God is coming to tell us. You have a value. And then once we get to understand the gold that we are, then it'll just start oozing from us to those that are around us. That's what will make a change. That's what the earth is waiting on. That it's not so much that sin is rampant, evil, it was always going to be here. But the Lord said the gates of hell will not prevail. And I believe that means it won't stand up against us. If we go forth, we can tear that thing down. That's what they did in Jericho. And you don't have to do a whole lot either. But what you do have to do is obey. You have to reverently respect. When he said, don't say anything, I believe if we were given those instructions for 7 days, and I'm not going to say, don't say nothing. Don't use anything electronic, with the internet, which is nothing but fasting. What we do, or what we slip, you know. And I know that we do, and we're forgiven. But the whole point is, in understanding the sovereignty of God, it should motivate us, fuel us. It should make us stand up to be obedient. And to not do these things even when they don't make sense. What's that got to do with anything?
Foundation.
Just there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so those are the things that we want to God to stir up in us. So every time, I think one of the prophetic word last month, because it was respiratory, and it said as long as at the end that, you know, I have breath, you know, I will not speak evil, and I will praise the Lord. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's the way I took it. And it said, and when it said evil, I said, well, no, I'm not going to speak evil. And it said, well, when we murmur and complain, we're speaking evil. You know, I had to repent. It's like Elder shared earlier. When I understood what that meant, then he just kind of gave me a slideshow. You know? And I had to repent, you know, because of the things I said were not honoring him. Now, it wasn't that they weren't true. They were true. But it just didn't give him honor. So with my breath, okay, what I use it not sparingly, but use it as and realizing that it's precious, and it is. And so therefore, because it's precious, because it comes from him, then the only thing I'm going to do with it is to praise. And that's what we have to get to. And I believe when that happens, then we are releasing in the earth that truth and that that part of God that needs to go forth so that it will destroy the evil that's around. That's what the earth is moaning for us to say something. But not with our mouths necessarily, but with our hearts and our lives. You know, I shared with somebody that the fact that they used to pray, you know, this blood to go from heart to heart. You know, and that was just something to say in a prayer. But they understood what it meant. I didn't. I just thought it was something you say to make the prayer longer, and it sounded good. And we were all standing in a circle, okay, and I could picture it. Bloop-de-bloop-de-bloop-de going from heart to heart. But what it was saying is his heart to our heart to their heart. His heart to our heart to their heart. His heart to our heart to their heart. That's what will make a difference. That's what's going to change things. That is what is going to stop. All the saints in the world won't stop nothing when man's heart isn't right. We've gotten halfway through the sovereignty of God this week. I don't know any other insights that you guys want to share. A revelation he's shown you. A new path. New insight.
We're going to finish reading the scriptures?
Yes.
Was Auntie going to finish? Does she want to read some more?
Okay,
does anybody
want to
read?
A little bit quiet. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't mind. If anyone else wants to read it, I don't mind. Okay. This one is, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. Did we read that?
No, ma'am.
Okay. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Psalms 103:19. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Amen. Amen.
I wanted to reflect, as Overseer
yes.
was sharing about sovereignty. And as I thought about, as we're doing our elevation and, you know, accountability partners,
yeah.
reflecting on where God has brought us and the sovereignty, the things that we've gone through in our lives, how our parents and grandparents have established and left this legacy in us, that when the trouble came or whether the sickness or whatever it was down through our lives, how we look back and how they never, their faith never wavered. They stood firm on the word. You know, times may have gotten hard and that, which helped me as I started having children and going through with the things that I had to go through in my life and sickness and whatever. But it established the fact that God knows. He's eternal. He knows everything we're going through, and he's always said he's going to be there. And each time something happened, it was an opportunity for more closeness and more closer relationship with him. And I just, you know, thank for the sovereignty. I just thank you. And I used to hear other people say back in the day, the sovereign grace. Oh, my. It's God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. Amen. And I just, this sister said earlier, this chapter in particular has touched home with me. And I thank God for it. I thank God for your responses that you've shared. It reflects my heart and what's in my mind. And all of you. And I enjoy this ministry. I always say that, but it's the truth. I really enjoy this ministry. It gives me so much. And I get so much out of it. And I thank you for the walk and the fellowship. That's it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, Overseer, when I think about this chapter on sovereignty, it makes me really hopeful. I can't say a whole bunch of things make me hopeful. Not that I feel like I'm in doom and gloom or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But hopeful because no matter how crazy stuff gets, and to me things are pretty crazy.
Yep.
You know, that... It's like my daddy is still in charge, you know, no matter how bizarre this seems, God is still, I can, that anchor, that number one, that I believe God and that God is real and that he is in control. Mm-hmm. And then come what may, you know, if I got to go, I got to go. You know, I that gives me comfort that I ain't tripping about, like, if life is over, you know, and I ain't planning on going anywhere or anything like that or feeling like that, but I'm just saying that there is a steadfast or security or I guess a security in knowing that, you know, like, and I say this very guardedly because I'm certainly not comparing myself to Paul. Don't get it twisted. But when he said a base or a bow, you know, but the whole idea that, okay, this is crazy. I'd like stuff to be totally different, but if it ain't God, you're still in control. And then what's the worst possible thing that could happen? He takes us home with him, and that's a glorious thing. You know, I mean, you know, in the world standard, the worst thing that could happen is, you know, you could die. You know, it's like, okay. Right. You know, I mean, things are getting so crazy here. Some days it seems like, Lord, thank you. That might be a relief to just, you know, take me on out, you know. But, you know, I know that there is a work to do, and, you know, we walk in God's creative process, and he has a destiny for our life, all that, you know, yada, yada, yada. Amen. But the sovereignty of God, I'm trying to understand that better. I won't say I understand it all, but I'm trying to understand that better. It makes me feel really, really secure, like as a kid, you know. That was a pretty, whatever, snarky kid, whatever. Mm. But I knew that when I got back to my block, I was straight. If I could just get back to the block, you know, and sometimes I think about that kind of imagery with God, you know, that when I'm where I need to be, then it's all good. Even if something happens, you know, even if I get beat up on the block, then I know that my daddy is going to come out, you know, and somebody else is going to get it. You know, and I'm saying that, you know, in a kind of joking way. But do you understand what I mean with that whole idea?
Yeah,
I
do. I think it's wonderful imagery. Yeah. And actually, as you were speaking, if I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I'm still okay.
Yes. Yes.
I'm still here.
He's still sovereign.
So
yes,
not that I use that as an excuse, but it is a comfort. And I believe that when you were sharing, you know, that you're hopeful, and it's like it's a freedom we have from being influenced and connected to society. Those that connection is cut, because
everybody is so anxious. I've never seen as many people talk about anxiety in my life. I'm like, is everybody having anxiety issues? You know, I mean, you just hear it everywhere, every news story, every segment on these posts. You know, it's like, God, it's sovereign. We ain't got to be freaking out like this. You know, because if we in him, like I said, you know, he can take us away, you know.
But see, that's one of the things that the author shares. That's not preaching from the pulpit anymore. It used to be a time that was the message on a regular basis, just like salvation, okay? But that's not what's being preached. If you look at TV, you don't really see that. Okay, people don't want to bring that up because somebody will say, well, if God is sovereign, then why this and why that? And they can't answer that. And so they tend to stay away from it. But just like the other book said, why not? This is his world. He can do anything he wants. And we have, if we were honest with ourselves, if we were truly honest and understood the holiness of God, there is nobody on the face of the earth that deserves to be alive. We deserve
Amen.
The eternal punishment. So no matter what they get, I don't care if you can say, but suppose you did, it doesn't matter. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and until we get Christ, and once we get Christ, we are born again. So therefore, as you shared, Elder, that we're not connected to the fear of death anymore. Because we understand. But you have to understand the attributes of God. He's eternal. He's unchanging. And he has promises. And he has a strategy. So the more we know about who he is and what he has and what he has done and, you know, what he has chosen or who the fact that he has chosen us, the more we understand about that, the more, hear this, fearless we should become. Because then David said, well, you know, the Most High God, the most sovereign Lord is my refuge. Why should I fear man? And man is disease, is anything that's natural on this earth. Why should I fear when the sovereign Lord is my refuge? I love that was it, and that was enough for me. The sovereign Lord is my, that's where I go. And that's where I hide. And y'all can't get me there. I know you can't, because I know what sovereign means. And I'm understanding his all power and his all seeing and his all knowing. And those things I'm getting, I don't know all about sovereign, but I'm understanding, oh, I got some money in the bank.
Yeah.
I got a benefit. And he's running behind me with this benefit. Goodness and mercy is going to follow you. And the song says, you run after me with your goodness in your hand, giving it to me. I wish you could see the picture I see. And me running and him running behind me, and I'm running to him. But I'm going the wrong way. He can see But now I understand, because he's everywhere, okay, I could be running towards him, and he could be running behind me. I love it. I just love it. I don't know how he do it. I don't care how he do it. I know he does do it.
That's
so,
right.
But praise God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's there.
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Call that building foundation.
Building foundation. There you go. That's my librarian.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Building a foundation. Yes, Lord. And it's
on the solid
it's
rock.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. I heard Apostle, who only Apostle can do this, honestly, praise the Lord. She is so anointed. And someone was building the temple of truth, and she said she was sharing with them that they did a good job on the foundation. She said, but what is the foundation on? Like, oh my Lord. Yeah, think about that for a minute. She shut them down. But at any rate, so it is a blessing because it really does go that deep.
Because
yes.
so often our foundation is the rock. But we have to remember the rock is the Son of God. That's his foundation.
That's right. That's right.
So
mm-hmm.
if we only go into the rock, but we're not thinking about, oh, God, don't do that. God, he better be right there. Well, he is. But we need to understand that he is. Okay? And so those are just things that give the picture of our journey a lot. Makes the picture more, what do I want to say, appealing and exciting, definitely and exciting. So, you know, but anyway, just ponder upon that. Anybody else?
I had stated when she said the foundation is that when we just stay on his course and wait on him, and he's sovereign. He really do what he want to do, when he want to do it, how he want to do it, where he want to do it, and who he want to do it with. But we have to stay grounded in him, you know, and walk by faith no matter what it looks like, not by our own agenda. And he is so sovereign. He's everything the names of God say he is. So.
Amen. Thank you. We are so grateful to him.
Yes. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Anybody else?
Okay. Well. Wonderful, wonderful sharing our Friday Fellowship of Learners. It is definitely enlightening and a spiritual support, a spiritual support for lifestyle changes that should happen every day as we walk in the discipline of the Word of God. And so stay in your word.
Ooh, excuse me.
With July, I'm glad we read the word today. So,
yeah.
Any other questions, comments, concerns, revelations? Elder Roberta, we're coming to a close. We're coming to the end of this book. So if you could... text me or something, the Job manual thing, so that we can see how we see how we can initiate getting everybody that book, so that we when we finish this book we can go right into that one. Even though I do have three more books that we've been blessed with
that aren't Job.
Yeah, right. That aren't Job. Yeah.
Something to consider. But what's the name of the book with Job? What's the name of that book?
I don't know. Elder Roberta got that information.
Oh, she'll okay.
give it to us. You gonna share it now or no?
Huh?
Do you have the name of the book now? Okay, because I believe we have
I
to
have
get
a
it from.
Of it in, let me see. I don't have.
I think we got to get.
I thought I had it, but I can't find it. But I do have the name of it. I had taken a picture of it. I don't know what I did with it, but.
Okay.
I can't. I'm looking through here.
Do you remember the name of the people that wrote the book?
It's the company. When we were doing those studies, you could only get it through that company. You can't
right.
buy
what?
It.
Oh,
right.
Over
what's the
here,
name?
It's by Carl Karff, Carhams. I can send you their website.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Apostle. Can you
no
also
problem.
Get the book?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
I was just, you know, put an order in for us so that we can get the book.
I just didn't hear you. Could you repeat that?
No, I said we put an order in for us so that we can get it distributed by the time this book is over.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. If you will let me know how many are needed, we can contact them directly.
All right. And we'll find a price, and we'll let everybody know next week, and y'all can Zelle and Happy Time with the PayPal and all that stuff, whatever y'all do with. Okay. But we definitely will, you know, make sure everybody has it one way or the other before we get started. Okay? So if we have to do something in the interim, we have our awesome evangelist, Narvella, who has given us what's next. Where do we go now? After Dr. Jeremiah's book. And then she's also shared with us, I think it says 30 signs of the end time going into Revelation. So we got a lot of
Is that David Jeremiah as well, 30 signs? Is that the same one we were talking about, the 31 signs?
Yes.
Okay, the book of signs, 31. Yes. 31, the book of signs. Okay, yeah. I'm looking for one coming in the mail, too.
Yeah,
but come on, man. You want to go Job, and then you want to go Revelation? What?
Well, Job
like,
will get you ready
the
for
books,
Revelation,
the 66
okay?
books. You take, like, two of the most challenging books and say, okay, yeah, we're going to do Job, and then we're going to do Revelation. Okay.
There you
all
go.
Right, no problem.
this is not me. This is the Lord. He's preparing.
Whatever the Holy
Spirit is. He's preparing his people. You know.
Yeah.
Yep. And then as soon as I find that song, Sovereign by Dale Coley, I don't know why I couldn't find it, but I will find it. But anyway.
Look on the album called Just Daryl, because I love Dale Coley, so I think I have all his stuff. I think that's the album. It's called Just Daryl, I think.
Okay.
Just
Daryl. Thank you. Because they was giving me, the only one they had was When the Music Stopped. It's like, nah, that ain't no.
That's when Sunday Comes. That's a nice one, though. When Sunday Comes.
That's not
powerful. That's not for Sovereign, but that's a powerful song. I'll look and see, because I know I have him on my computer upstairs. So I got all the Daryl Coley stuff.
See, and the
even
thing
on
is,
cassette,
well,
that's how much
that.
I like Daryl Coley.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. Yes. Okay, so we'll see you next week. No, we'll talk to you next week. And tomorrow yes, ma'am.
Well, I just wanted to say before we close that the last two scriptures was talking about. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases.
Yeah.
And whatever he pleases, he does. And the writer had mentioned about what Samuel had told Eli he was going to do. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And I just wanted to food for thought. Can that be our testimony to the Lord, to say to the Lord, it is you, Lord. Let you do what seems good to you in our life, in my life.
Amen.
Food for thought.
Amen.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure I've read it before.
Yeah, that takes Thy Will Be Done on Earth to a whole nother level.
It
makes it personal.
Yes, it does.
Makes it personal. And we've been saying that, but that's what we want to communicate. I think it's a wonderful challenge. I think that it's something we should, and we'll talk more about it next week, because we didn't finish this chapter anyway. And so that'll be what we'll lead off with. and everybody's response to that in the week to come and in the situations and circumstances that are around you. You know, were you able to say that? And when you did, what relief did you get in your emotions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. And they have this, Let It Rain tomorrow at 10 o'clock conference via the Zoom conference for Let It Rain. So anybody interested can either check Elder Sharita's announcements, and it's on FaceTime, and they're blowing everything up. So you'll find it, and they're sending it out. I don't know if they sent an alert out, but I know it's on FaceTime. And she sent out another reminder with the codes and things on it. So. Be blessed. Be blessed. This is Palm Sunday coming up. And the preparation for Holy Week and Worship Week. And a lot of people are going to be able to experience it, you know, in person. Maybe for a couple of years they weren't able to, but this year they will be. So it should be very powerful. We have been properly prepared to acknowledge resurrection. And actually the whole journey of the cross. So I know you're going to enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I know you will.
Amen.
So. All right.
Check your message. You have sovereignty here by you, on your message now, by Daryl.
Oh, thank you. Oh, good. You know how to do that stuff. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Amen. God bless us all.
God bless you. Love you.
Love you.
Love you too.
You all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.